Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Woo. Here we go. Back on that Tuesday night.
America, welcome to the amazing edition talking sports plus, man. A couple things I have to tell you guys. Never trust Kansas whenever you're picking your brackets. Just saying. Never trust Kansas. That's what I'm going to say. Never trust Duke.
Hey, they won a national championship last year.
Never trust Kansas.
Kansas won a national championship last year.
Let's give you a hard time, man. Try to trust them, man. Come on, man.
Hey, they won a national championship last year.
That's
outlier.
But, you know,
just like Villanova. You can't trust them except for when they decide to win it all.
Yeah. Hey. Villanova won it back-to-back years with Jay Wright. So, yeah, you can't pick.
So but Arizona has a million years in there, too. So.
Yeah, but I think for Kansas State, you had to be a little worried about them going into the tournament, too, because Texas whipped them twice going into the tournament in the last week and a half or so in the season. I mean, whipped them double digits. So I think that kind of sent the message there with Kansas. Yeah. And then Arkansas is one of those teams that, if you remember, they were in the top seven in the preseason because, man, they had like four or five high school All-Americans on that team, but they were hurt most of the year. And so they were a dangerous team. And so, hey, that was a perfect medicine for them to eliminate Kansas.
Perfect storm. Mm-hmm.
Hey,
perfect storm.
Nick Schmidt.
Nah.
Yeah. It's like Nick Schmidt is going to be a top draft pick, too.
Yeah, it's a game, man. I'm just, you know, again, I'm just having some fun here because we're talking about brackets and all the fun. So we got a lot of things to talk about. So, again, we are officially ready. But
I know y'all had Princeton in the Final Four.
Oh, hey, no one had that. No one had FGU, Farley. Man, no one picked all these games, man. Princeton, come on, man.
Oh.
Farley Dickerson, what the frick is happening? But it's all good.
And Dave Chappelle and Carlton had Princeton win.
Yeah, now there you go. That's funny. That's hilarious. Let's check on the fellas really quickly. JQ, how you feeling this evening, my guy?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I'm doing good. Just sitting here ready to talk some sports with y'all. This next week in the basketball on the way so we can get to the Final Four.
Final Four.
Feeling good, man. Had a great dinner with some colleagues tonight, man, you know. Feeling great, man. Had some great pompano with some stuffed seafood in the inside of it. Yeah.
I actually had black beans and rice. I had a little networking event tonight for DJ networking event, so I had a chance to visit a great potential partner, and he cooked for us. He cooked some ahi-mahi tacos. It was black beans,
nice.
Lemon pepper chicken. It was really great. So good.
You had black beans.
So, I don't
to sleep next to her tonight.
Hey, man, you gotta drink some baking soda to kind of get rid of that, man. Red beans and rice, he's eating too, right? Your poor wife with all the asparagus, man. That's all I'm gonna say with that one, man. I mean, man, Lord have mercy. Ooh. Gary, how you feeling, man?
I have black beans and rice.
I'm doing
that too, so you know, I might get put out the room too.
So light.
You're already out of the room. What are you talking about?
Hey.
Jason,
you
man, you're not in the and the door's locked, Rob. What are you talking about?
They got great Cuban food in Tampa, man. Sometimes it's hard to stay away from the black beans.
Oh, that's some good food. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Putting my house up for sale here next
that
week.
That entree? The sound effect?
And then I'm moving back.
That was a sound effect, by the way.
You sure?
you like it? That's what that was. You're like, oh, man.
I say, damn, dog.
You said about putting your house up for sale? Your house got blown away? Sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, I'm putting the house up for sale this next week. Have
okay.
the real estate agent over. And
oh, you moving to Florida?
I will. Yeah, I will. That's been the plan.
Okay.
Now things are coming together with, finishing up Curtis's estate, getting that all taken care of through probate. And so now it's time to move forward with my plan.
Nice. Congratulations, my guy. All right, gentlemen, let's get this party started as always.
Yep.
Congratulations. It's going to be a quick night. Congratulations here. And I guess, once again, Rob, we're going to take a peek at you. Appreciate you putting the mic drop on there. I was ripping the runner off and I didn't get a chance to post the sports talk. But let's kind of get to all the topics here. And I don't know if you guys have been watching the World Baseball League and stuff like that, too, what's happening with that. But if you're catching up, you've been following that. Japan, does stuns. And then, obviously, we talked about what's happening, what happened tonight. They beat U.S. Ohtani strikes out Mike Trout, man. So there you go, man. So,
close the game out.
Yeah, man, that was, like, nuts, man. So I guess going around the room, I don't know if you guys have been watching, you've been interested in what's been happening, and that we'll kind of go around the horn and kind of briefly talk about that. And then, Rob, we'll jump into another updated NFL mock draft. There's been a lot of free agency moves that are still happening, but let's kind of go around the horn with that. And I'll start with you, JQ, your thoughts on that and the stunning, and if you're kind of watching that as well, my guy.
Yeah, I was in and out on it today, but I did watch yesterday the Japan and Mexico game. That was a really good game, back and forth. Leading down the stretch with Mexico and Japan. Well, now, they just have been kind of playing charmed, right? It feels like everybody's not paying them any mind. And we talk about how loaded, Puerto Rico, Colombia, and Venezuela, and the U.S., those lines are, and you look at it like, well, god damn, how does one of them not win? Here comes Japan. It's just kind of chugging along and, getting in there. For the U.S., though, I mean, you can't really blame the pitching in this one, a 3-2 game, even though we don't have our best of the best. Our pitchers that want to come participate in the WBC. I think they get enough. But Japan's just, they just, like I said, they just kind of played, really good, strong baseball, and they got timely hits. When they needed to get them, they got timely outs when they needed it. And that's what it comes down to. You can have all the all-stars and all the big names, but, sometimes those underappreciated dudes come in. I forget the guy's name. That's getting ready to go start playing for the Red Sox. But he hit that golf shot yesterday. That three-run home run for Japan to get them back in that game when he kept leaving a bunch of dudes on base. He's going to be a problem for the Red Sox there, Rob and Gary as Yankees fans. But, again, it was really exciting. They needed it these last couple of games just to get past, that Diaz injury because that was very unfortunate, getting hurt like that. His knee must have been already close to being able to blow out. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. You could see the joy, right? Like, I wish I could get that kind of joy, and I know you can't get it for 162 games, right? That's a whole bunch of games. Right. But, we always talk about a lot of times too, people who say it's too slow, and, they don't show any emotion. But all the emotion in this has been so fun to watch. It's been World Cup-esque, and I think baseball kind of needed that shot in the arm for it heading into the season. What they do to kind of capitalize on and keep that, that train moving in the right direction for them as a unit remains to be seen. But I've thoroughly enjoyed it, man. It's been really good to watch.
Yeah, I probably wasn't as in tune to it as JQ was. But, I started hearing so many people around me talking about it. It made me kind of starting to get interested in it a little bit. So I thought it'd be nice to put it in on the show topics, but I think JQ covered it all. Ohtani with the walk off on last night, I mean that was pretty special. And then tonight, the pitching for the Japanese just wore the U.S. down, right? I mean, they had Yu Darvish coming in relief. They had Ohtani ready to pitch on relief tonight if they needed him. You need him. And he struck out Trout to close the game. So, I mean, yeah, they had pitching just as good as anybody out there, right? And we always say pitching and defense win championships in baseball. And they had a pretty strong pitching staff in order for them to pull it out. But Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Mexico, the teams that we thought were going to be contending in there. And we forget, Japan has a professional baseball league over there themselves. A lot of those guys don't even play in America. And, they play in their home country, right? And they do have some good ones that do come over and play in the major leagues, right? So they've been good in baseball for quite some time. So I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but I guess some people lost track of, their credibility from a baseball standpoint. But Japan has been pretty good in baseball for quite some time, which was the guy who's played for the Mariners all those years, steal all those bases.
Ichiro.
Ichiro. I mean, sucks. He was kind of one of the first to kind of lead that train, right? And they've been putting out some pretty good baseball players for quite some time.
It's just when you see, you just see those lineups. Like, when you got Trey Turner, who just went nuts batting ninth. Like, good Lord, that USA lineup was so stupid that Trey Turner's batting ninth. Like, that's why you lose track of Japan, because you're right, though. They've got a whole bunch of professionals that just kind of slide in the slots. You can't overstate chemistry and guys that have been playing together, the way they have, and not just kind of come together for all-star games. They've been together in the trenches over there. But I think that's part of the reason why you forget about Japan, because you just look at these lineups across these other countries, and you're like, good Lord, who's going to have enough pitching to keep them from just going haywire in a game and scoring 9, 10, 11 runs? And then Japan just putting people down. And then now they're putting people down when they get into a back-and-forth game. They got enough hitting and timely hitting to win the game. So, shout-out to Japan. They play really good, consistent baseball throughout this classic.
I missed out on this game against the U.S. I thought it was tomorrow night. So I'm a day late and a dollar short on the whole thing. I was looking forward to this game tomorrow night. Can't believe it. But I didn't get to watch much of it, if any of it, so I don't really have a lot to say on it.
Yeah, Trey Turner announced himself as the people who thought he was just a one-trick pony with the speed. He kind of put on a show here in this World Baseball Classic for the U.S. So I figured that contract he just signed looked not like a bargain, but at least justified.
Yeah, it's pretty tough because sometimes, of course, you do have some injuries, and we talk about some key situations that happen to some players, and so – it is interesting, because you would think this would be kind of a bigger event as far as just, baseball's kind of getting some traction, but it's just one of those situations where this is kind of unique where it could be really big if we kind of had, I think it was kind of pushed more, if you will. So, if you're just a baseball guy, you're like, oh, man, it's great to see, like, all these countries that are playing baseball and those things like that too, man. So, but like you said, you got some powerhouses like the Mexicos, and, you keep thinking of all the talent we get from Puerto Rico and Dominican and all these different countries. You're like, man, this, this should be some serious talent. And then you see, like you said, JQ, Japan come out of nowhere, like, what? And they had talent, but, man, you didn't realize how much they had that much talent. So it's just interesting. Rob.
Well, the thing about it is it has been really popular in other countries. If you go and look at some of the ratings they got, they talked about it.
Yeah, it's
been nuts everywhere else. But, I just want to make sure that people understand it's been nuts really everywhere except for here. I think people see U.S. in the semis and the finals, they try to start to pick it up. But it's been exploded in most of those other countries throughout the Classic.
Yeah. Let's talk about the updated mock draft, Rob.
Oh, yeah. So, once again, you got another update. Another 5-round mock draft posted to the Talking Sports Facebook page. Second week in a row, I still got C.J. Stroud, the number one spot, Carolina. And I know Frank Wright had some talk this week about Bryce Young, but I still think Stroud is the guy, number one right now. I know he mentioned that Young is still up for consideration as well. I got Bryce Young, number two, to Houston. Will Anderson, number three. I got Anthony Richardson, number four. Jalen Carter, number five. So top five pretty much still the same as it was on last week. No real changes there. Number six, I got Will Levis moving up to Detroit, number six. And I hear Will Levis is even a guy that Frank Wright likes as well. It's up for consideration. But I just can't see them picking him number one. You can talk all about the injuries he had this past year, but the more you watch him, you just see all the mistakes he made this past season too. And throwing in the triple coverage when he has guys wide open. And so those decision making to me has nothing to do with injuries. So that's the question mark with Will Levis there. I have him at the number six slot. Detroit may take a flyer on him at the moment, but I just can't see Carolina taking him at the number one spot. And supposedly Frank Wright is a big fan of his, but I still can't see it. You know, this is lying season in the NFL. So you got smoke screens going on all over the place. But when you watch him play, there's no question about his physical talent. But, I mean, just the decision-making with some of his throws, you just scratch your head, right? And so, can it be fixed? Possibly, but I just can't see him going at the number one spot. I got him number six right now in Detroit, and that may even be a stretch. I got Vegas taking Tyree Wilson, edge rusher from Texas Tech. I got the Falcons taking Nolan Smith, edge rusher from Georgia. This is the highest I've mocked him. Moved him up to number eight, had an incredible combine. So he's been moving up a lot of draft boards. So I got him up at number eight to the Falcons. Christian Gonzalez, wow, an incredible athlete from Oregon, cornerback. I got him going to the Bears at number nine. And Luka Van Ness, second mock in a row, I got him going to number 10 to the Philadelphia Eagles at the 10 spot. I'll skip around a little bit. I got Houston taking Miles Murphy, edge rusher from Clemson. I got Brian Breesy, defensive tackle from Clemson, going to the Jets. Harris Johnson, offensive tackle from Ohio State to New England. Jackson Smith and Jigba, wide receiver, Ohio State. I got him going Green Bay. They finally draft a wide receiver in the first round after they trade Aaron Rodgers. If this happens. That would be something, though.
That's exactly what that means.
Deontay Banks, you know, I had him going to 29 in quite a few mocks in Cincinnati. I got him up to number 17 in Pittsburgh now. So he's another guy that's really moving up, 6'2", tremendous athlete. And so I got him up to number 17 to the Steelers. Quentin Johnson, wide receiver from TCU, I have him going to Baltimore. Jordan Addison, wide receiver at USC, I have him going to Minnesota. Joey Porter Jr., cornerback Penn State. I got him going 24 to Jacksonville. Dallas at number 26. I got him taking Brian Branch, safety from Alabama. And Cincinnati, I got him taking Bijan Robinson, running back from Texas, at number 28. Obviously, there's some question marks. What's my running back name from Oklahoma there? And,
Mixon.
Joe Mixon.
He's crazy ass.
I got the Saints taking Kelee Ringo, cornerback from Georgia. And I got the Eagles taking Jahmyr Gibbs, running back from Alabama. I got him up in the first round, latter part of the first round. So the latter part of that first round, I got two running backs going in that time spot in those slots. I'll go over our teams right real quick. Atlanta, I got to take him Drew Sanders in the second round, linebacker, versatile linebacker from Arkansas, who can drop in coverage and rush the pass from the pinch. I got him taking Jervon Dexter, big defensive tackle from Florida in the third round. And the Falcons have two fourth-round picks. I got him taking Daniel Scott, safety from Cal, and Joe Tippmann, offensive guard from Wisconsin. I could see him being a starter in a year or two, but probably be a reserve in his first year. And then they take a flyer on the quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, quarterback from Purdue, to see what they can possibly get from a depth perspective at the quarterback position. Dallas, I got to watch to mention Brian Branch. Then they go with another Alabama player in the second round, Tyler Steen, offensive tackle from Alabama. Started his career at Vanderbilt and transferred, went to Alabama, really did a really nice job protecting Bryce Young's blind side. So I have Dallas taking him in the second round. Obviously, the Cowboys cut Zeke Elliott. They signed Ronald Jones today, running back. But Ronald Jones hadn't done nothing in the league in about 8 years. So I got him taking another running back in the third round, Zach Evans. And Zach Evans could be a poor man's Tony Pollard. He has some explosion. He's kind of small. So I got them taking him in the third round. Zach Evans, running back from Ole Miss, had an incredible year last year for Coach Lane Kiffin. And then I got him taking Parker Washington, wide receiver from Penn State, in the fourth round, who could play in the slot. And Dallas traded one of their fifth-round picks to get Brandon Cook. So they still have one fifth-round pick left, and they take Jay Ward, cornerback from LSU. Then the Bengals, we talked about Bijan Robinson, the second round. They're going to get one of the best pass-catching tight ends in the draft, and Luke Musgrave from Oregon State. The third round, they get some depth at the cornerback position with Garrett Williams from Syracuse. In the fourth round, they take Jackson Kirkland, offensive guard from Washington. Very similar to Joe Tippmann for the Falcons. I think these are two offensive guards by year two could probably be starters in the league. We're probably going to be helping out from a depth perspective in year number one. Colby Wooden, defensive tackle from Auburn in the fifth round. In the Saints, I mentioned Keely Ringo, cornerback from Georgia. In the second round, got us going Josh Downs, wide receiver from North Carolina. Still need some depth. You don't know what we're going to get out of Michael Thomas this year. I think you can only hope for the best, but, you know, he's been out of football for the better part of 3 years. So you got a plan as if he probably will not be there, right? So you take Josh Downs, wide receiver from North Carolina. The third round, you got to take Sam Laporta, tight end from Iowa. A little short, probably could go in the first round, but he's a pretty good pass catcher. But if he was in that 6'5", 6'6", range from a height perspective at the tight end position, he probably would be close to the early lab late first, early second round, but got him going third round to the Saints. In the fourth round, Saints taking DeMarvion Overshawn, linebacker from Texas. And the Saints have two fifth-round picks, need some more depth at defensive tackle. They did sign two in free agency and re-sign one of their own, but still need some depth there. They signed Isaiah McGuire, defensive tackle from Missouri. And then they take a flyer on a quarterback, Jaren Hall, quarterback from BYU. In the fifth round. So that's where you have it. The rest of the rounds are all posted on our Talking Sports with a 12th Talking Sports with a 12th man page.
Nice. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, I think at least for the Bengals, the signs of Orlando Brown changed some direction for them. So I think they might be open for business for anything. I could be a tight end. I know we've been talked about a running back and also another offensive tackle, depending on what they do with Jonah Williams. They, you know, acquiesce to his trade demand. So I could see any of those things happening. I could see them trading out of the bottom of the first round, depending on what kind of offer they get and depending on how far down they drop. So I think the Bengals are in a good spot right there, depending on, you know, there's always going to be some fallers. Like, there's always some risers. Somebody's got to fall. So it also depends on, you know, who falls to them and who, you know, you got those people, those teams that are sitting there at the top of the second round that love to get back into the bottom of the first round to get those followers. So I'm interested to see, you know, if the Bengals listen to it or if they're sold on one dude that falls to them, they go ahead and take him. So I could see all that happening. That would get them a lot more explosive and a cheaper running back where they can get rid of Mixon's $12 million cap hit.
Yeah. And, hey, you talk about protecting Joe Burrow. What protects Joe Burrow? Running the football, right? It's not just the offensive line and pass protection, but running the football and a good defense is going to protect the quarterback too. And at least for this coming year, you got a good 1-2 punch if this happens. Obviously, these are mock drafts, Joe Mixon and Bijan Robinson. I mean, you got a heck of a 1-2 punch. And you got two guys that can both catch the ball out of the backfield right there if you go that route. And then if you decide not to re-sign Joe Mixon, you got Bijan Robinson, who's definitely going to be capable, even as a rookie, of being the number one running back for any team in the league, practically. I mean, he's that talented. And definitely by far the best running back in this draft, even though I got Jahmyr Gibbs going a couple spots after him in his later mock.
Well, no, I appreciate what you're doing. Who knows how it's really going to go down after this whole free agency thing is over, so have to wait and see how everything lines up, but the time that you take doing this is and the thought process is, it's impressive, Rob.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Hey, I like the Cowboys' move for getting Brandon Cooks, too. I mean, I know they gave up a fifth this year and a sixth next year. There wasn't a lot of wide receivers from a free agency standpoint that could take the top off of defense. Look at Juju Smith. He's not that guy that's going to take – I mean, solid receiver, nothing against Juju. I'll take him with the Saints. But he's not a guy that's going to take the top off of defense, right? Brandon Cooks still has that kind of speed to where he can take the top off of defense. And I think it's one of those things that the Cowboys may be admitting trading Amari Cooper was a mistake too, right? I mean, but you go out and get Brandon Cooks. You give Dak another weapon. You get another weapon on top. Because you look at that, you look at the wide receiver position for the Cowboys this past season. I mean, outside of CeCe, you just didn't have many pass catchers. And getting Brandon Cooks is a huge addition. But, you know, obviously you got to look at the tight end position now with Dalton Schultz leaving too.
Yep. Schultz, he was really a product of that Kellen Moore offense. And we'll see how he would have fit in or how that tight end fits in Knucklehead's offense. We'll see. You know who I'm talking about. I don't have a lot of confidence in, as Curtis would say, McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
I think I'd rather have Paul McCartney as an offensive coordinator.
Wow. Brandon Cooks, if he gets traded one more time, wouldn't he be like the most traded wide receiver, crazy, like around 14th or something like that? If he gets traded again, something crazy there. They're talking about that. I thought it was pretty interesting.
15.
Cooks? Yeah. He's got a reputation. Yeah. The only concern I would have about Brandon Cooks, he got a reputation of being a malcontent. And, you know, he was with the Saints drafted him, if you all remember. And, he and Michael Thomas – this was when Michael Thomas was playing well and in his prime. They didn't quite get along, right? So the Saints shipped him out of town, and I think we sent him to New England and got a first-round pick for him. We got Ryan Ramczyk in that spot. So he's got that reputation, right? You know, and that's why he keeps getting moved around New England. You know, he went to the Rams. He's been complaining in Houston for like 10 years now. It probably felt like 10 years to Houston.
Well, I think they got a good pick for what they gave up for him. But Colin today on his show was talking about, he didn't think he had anything left in his tank. He thought it was a bad move for the Cowboys. Yeah, he was going off on him. And I thought that was for a fifth and a sixth round pick, I thought that was a fantastic deal.
Yeah,
you guys are feeling too?
Yeah, I think he can still play personally. I think he can still run. He can still take the top off the defense. I'll just be concerned about him in the locker room. That's my concern. But as far as his athletic ability, I think you saw last year even with the Texans, he can still take the top off the defense. He can still run. He still got that speed to what he came out of college with. I think from that perspective, you can get him on board as far as being a team player. I think he definitely still can play.
He's going to see so much single coverage, with CeeDee Lamb on the other side of it, right? You know, so that piece of it, like, I don't think he's the number one receiver at this point in his career.
No.
But having a solid number one on the other side where he can see, he's going to get some little safety help here and there, depending on the coverage that the team plays, but he's going to see a lot more single coverage than he saw with Houston, right? He was all that Houston had. So when you got CeeDee on the other side, catching balls and winning games covers up a lot of ills, right? So he gets there and gets enough balls and they win games, he'll be all right, hopefully, for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Like I said, appreciate everything you did. Nolan Smith the Falcons, that's an interesting pick. I definitely like the Drew Sanders pick at number two. We'll see what happens because I know we've had some like Gary said, free agency has been pretty interesting. Calais Campbell has been visiting us. That'd be a good pickup because I know we're still worried about edge for the Falcons, and then you know, that situation. And then I still think we may draft our center. And then, like you said, we added Matt Collins, got some depth there. Trey Flowers is here from the Bengals, JQ, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. It's kind of interesting if they re-sign him because they're just building a lot of depth. But Nolan Smith is a – man, that dude's an athlete. That's a pretty high situation to have him going number eight, but I wouldn't be mad. It's interesting how you're getting two linebackers to kind of replace that, if they're kind of versatile at that position too. You know? So but we'll see what's happening for the Falcons. So appreciate you as well.
Definitely the highest I've had, Nolan, in any mock. So, you know, we'll kind of see. You know, he's definitely a buzz based on his performance at the combine right now. So,
Yeah. Good stuff. Hey, I know this is a favorite topic for Rob, your favorite person. The NFL is expected to give Roger Goodell a multi-year extension. So, you know, I don't think this is a surprise, but it's just, you know, the owners are like, damn, you know, it's just money, money, money talks, right? So, go ahead with this, Rob.
Well, you know, I haven't been the biggest fan of Hitler, but and Roger Goodell, and but you know, if you look at it from an NFL owner's perspective, he's bringing so much revenue. He's helped contribute to bring so much revenue to the league, and he's got so much exposure. I mean, you got regular season games in Germany now. You got regular season games in London. You got regular season games
Mexico.
In Mexico City, and you know the thing about you know, soccer and baseball and basketball is that those games are global sports, right? And they make so much money outside of America, and that's been the weakness of the NFL. The NFL is so strong here in America, but, you know, now he's helped bring that game to give it more global presence, and obviously it still has some more work to do in that area. But he's been big part of that. When you look at the TV contract that he has in America, obviously from that perspective, that's the reason why you're seeing this, you know, because I mean, the NFL is just huge here in America, right? They're king here in America, and you look at now what he's adding to the footprint from when you look at adding the international expansion to it, and I think that's only going to continue, right? They're going to continue to look for opportunities to play a lot of these games internationally to build that exposure. Now, I think the next step for the NFL is making the game getting the game played internationally, right? So getting more talent to come from international countries, right? So that's going to be the next step. But this is the step in making that happen and bringing this exposure to other countries. So. You know, that's the reason why he's getting this extension and a raise, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the other piece of it is that he takes all the slings and arrows for the owners. Like, all the stuff they want him to do that's not popular, he goes out there and says it, and he just can come up with that shit on his own, right? You know, like some of the fines and things he comes up with. Like, they told him, hey, this is what we want. And they get to sit back like this and have the public calling Hitler and get all on his back, listening back there at Teflon, right? So it's true, though. So if I got you to go out there for me and take all this abuse that I don't have to take, and we keep growing, like you said, financially, and the, you know, the interest is not going down, we're signing all these new deals, what reason do I have not to extend you? You know what we want. We talked about it behind closed doors. I'm sure they have a 3-5, 10-year plan of where they're trying to get you in terms of a roadmap for the NFL, and he's executing it. And they're like, go ahead, keep being cuffed out, Hitler. I'm all for it. So, yeah.
Well, you know, remember him early in his career, remember how he would just totally hammer all these players, you know, just harshest penalties you could come up with these players. And then if the owners had a little something wrong, he would just look the other way. And it seems like he's kind of backed away a little bit on the harshness of the players to some degree. And I think that he was getting such bad press that some of these owners were saying, hey, maybe we should go another way. I know Jerry Jones was. It was his last contract. He was fighting the NFL on it. And Roger knew that. So I'm glad that he's pulled away from some of the harshness and understanding that, you know, these young men make mistakes, but let's not make it a life sentence for these guys, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, but that was something behind the closed doors they came up with that, and didn't let him go out there and deliver that message. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you, but, you know, when you've got 32 billionaires that don't want to, you know, have to go face the music all the time, I can go put me another millionaire out there, let him get his ass whipped by the media. Yeah, I'm going to keep letting that happen. They're like, good job, Raj. And keep it going.
We'll tell you enough money. You can take it.
Damn straight. He gets compensated handsomely. So.
This last quarter was like $5 million.
So I guess you'd take that job, JQ, if it was offered to you?
Oh, man, listen, I'd be up there in my top four suits. I'd be like, man, cuss me out for all the money they get ready to pay that dude. You can cuss me out in my face.
Yeah, come,
let's do it.
Cuss away.
I go swimming in the money bin like Scrooge McDuck when it's over, so I'll be all right.
We got to wake Rob up, but other than that, we're good.
Yeah, I'm awake, man. I'm ready to party.
Talk about
man.
Magic Johnson. And he's not ready. Talk about Magic Johnson, JQ, and his ownership bid for the Commanders.
Yeah, that one took me a little by surprise because, you know, he's pretty much got, I mean, he's got stuff everywhere. You know, Magic has got his hands in a little bit of everything. But if you're the NFL, just his charisma, his magnet, you know, his reach and everybody that, you know, he interacts with, he's just always like, you know, leaves them feeling good about themselves. And not only that, he's so willing to give them advice about what they should and shouldn't do for their business. And he's done so much for his own business. It's not like the NFL necessarily needs it, but it can't help to have another Magic Johnson. I have Magic Johnson in the room to help with some of these discussions in terms of how they want to grow the game that Rob just talked about. So, and plus, also in terms of getting minority representation at the ownership level, can you imagine being able to try out Magic Johnson if you're the NFL? Like, to me, you know, there's other people with more money, obviously, that could own the team. But, you know, the NFL, wink, wink, knows they got to play a little bit of this game right now in terms of we need to get at least one, if not a couple more minority owners. Who better to make a splash with in terms of being the owner than Magic Johnson, given what he means in America and even across the globe? So I would love to see it, but we'll see. But I can't find any fault with it other than he spread a little thin. I wonder if he would kind of like hire some other people or dissolve some of the other stuff so he could focus more on it, the NFL side of it. But from a PR standpoint, that's a home run for the NFL.
Yeah, I think so, too. My only problem is it's the Commanders. I mean, really? The Commanders?
Yeah.
But that's what's out there. That's what's available. And that's his, you know, he's done a phenomenal job outside of his NBA career, which was incredible. One of the best of all time. But for him as a person, as an advocate, as a, you know, minority owner of all these Starbucks and everything else he owns, you know, he's done a phenomenal job. And I think it's definitely a positive for the NFL to have someone like that in there, someone that is globally recognized like that.
Right.
And he would take over these owner meetings.
Yeah.
Oh, him and Jerry would be must-see TV.
You know,
I
think it's a heck of a move if you're in a position to do so. I mean, you got to realize here, for most of the NFL's history, the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington franchise have been the two most valuable franchises in the NFL, right? And I haven't seen the latest Forbes list of who the most valuable franchises are. But for most of the NFL's history, these are the two franchises that have been the most valuable, right? So, I mean, if you got an opportunity to pick up this in the nation's capital, obviously, you know, they're not the Redskins anymore. They're the Commanders. So I don't know how much of the luster they've lost. But, I mean, like I said, that market, that fan base, is still an extremely rabid fan base. That's loyal to that franchise. I mean, they haven't been successful in quite some time, but I mean, they have been the second most valuable franchise in the NFL for most of the last 20 years, 25 years in the league. So I have to pull up the list to see where they are right now. But, I mean, yeah, if Magic can get his hands on that, I think that's an incredible investment.
They're sixth right now, Rob. It looks like the number one is the Cowboys, which is at eight value with $8 billion, excuse me, with the B, excuse me. The Patriots are two.
Yeah, with his risk.
Yeah, with $6.4 billion with the B. The Rams are three. The Giants are four. The Bears are five. And then that leaves the Washington Commanders at number six. So that's according to
Forbes.
They obviously
lost
right
some of their luster
yeah.
with the name change, too. Yeah, which kind of hurt them a little bit. But still, I mean, they for quite some time, they were right up there near the top as far as most valuable franchises. So, yeah, they definitely lost some of their luster there. You know, New England with the success that they've had under Belichick and Brady. Then when you look at the Rams alone, just moving to Los Angeles catapulted them. And then, of course, them having some success. You know, they were in the bottom half of the league when they were in St. Louis, just moving to that a major market like that. And, of course, Chicago, just being in Chicago, and then Giants just being in New York are going to be up there too.
Don't forget the Dan Snyder effect of why they're falling down because he's an idiot.
Yeah, that's the call. I was just going to talk about that because owners.
Well, Magic Johnson, you know, Rob's had an opportunity to meet him and listen to him speak, as I have, and
got a signed jersey.
He doesn't associate himself with
not
a loser. He's looking at not only making some money, but making them a competitive team. I know that's what he's looking at. That's where he's been in every bit of his business ventures out there with his first Starbucks, you know, in the inner city in L.A., you know, when Starbucks initially turned him down. And he says, let me just have one. Just let me start with one, and let's see how it does. And it ended up being the number one Starbucks in the world. And he just kept going from there and there. And then he just, I don't know how many he owns now, 150 of them or something. But, you know, that's how this guy is. So he's looking at that, and he's looking at putting a stamp. And maybe he's looking at that, the global side of it. You know, he's a big, big picture guy in his professionally. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a good move for the NFL. One of the best moves probably in the last decade at least.
In a league that needs a minority presence in the ownership room too, desperately. So, I mean, definitely is needed. And you see the success he's had with his contributions to the Los Angeles Dodgers too, right? You know, how he's engaged with them and the success that they're having. He's had a small pie in the Lakers for a little bit, but really more so for what he's doing with the Dodgers. So he's an experienced businessman. When you talk about Starbucks, when you talk about Sodexo Magic in the food industry that he's been involved with too. So he's definitely, then of course with the Dodgers, so he's well-versed in the business arena. And he's a great salesman.
I was looking this up too because we talked about that, Rob, and everyone regarding the lack of minority ownership. There's a couple of handful of, I mean, you got to realize how expensive it is to own an NFL team, right? You know, just you have to have billions to literally have that. He's trying to join Josh Harris, who's actually part owner of the, I think he owns the 76ers and the Devils co-owner. But it looks like there's about. John Stallworth owns a little bit of handful with in Pittsburgh, and Warp Dunn has a piece in Atlanta. And we talked about the most recent was team was the Broncos, which purchased by a group that actually includes former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, excuse me, and Ariel Investments.
Sound like a Mexican.
Yeah, I know you're going there.
Condoleezza Rice? Is that what did you say?
Condoleezza Rice, white power. That was the white black supremacist. That was hilarious. But we need to go back to Mexico. Black power. You remember that?
Oh my goodness. I'm mad at me and Rob at the same time. I couldn't even get it back. Oh my goodness.
You have to watch Dave Chappelle comedy show to get that joke, Gary. You gotta watch.
Oh man.
You gotta watch the Black White Supremacist. Just watch that. That's hilarious, man. That's gonna be that'll change your life, man.
You need to go back to Africa. White power. Oh my god.
I'll be watching it right after this show.
Sound like a Mexican.
Oh man.
White power.
Oh my god.
The last one. Oh man, the fact that we put that on the show and the podcast, that's nuts. So I can quickly reverse gears here, if you will. But we're excited about Magic Johnson. Odin, we hope that actually happens. We definitely need a lot of diversity within the NFL because it's sorely lacking for sure. Let's talk about some really quick signings here. Baker Mayfield signs with the Bucks. He hopes to establish himself as a new starter, man. So what say you about this? I'm going to throw it out to Gary because he was last in.
Why are you picking on me?
Why not, man? Because it's fun, man. I want to throw it to you, man. I think it's hilarious, man. So why not?
Well, I remember when Baker was, he was going to be drafted, and boy, Jerry Jones had an infatuation with him, and somehow they talked him out of going with Baker, and
good thing.
That guy's just nothing but a knucklehead, and I wish him the best. I hope that he finishes third or fourth in his division.
Me too.
How's that?
I hope that too.
Yeah.
I hope that too.
Well, it's interesting. The Tampa Bay hired Dave Canales, who was the quarterback's coach in Seattle last year, as the new offensive coordinator. And you saw them bring Geno Smith back to life last year. So they're banking on him having a chance of bringing Baker Mayfield back to life. But I think the difference here for me is Geno had the opportunity to sit and learn for quite a few years behind Russell Wilson, right? And Baker, we saw how trash he was just last year. And so, if Dave Canales is able to pull this off, then you got to think he's one of the best quarterback/offensive coaches in the league because he did it with Geno Smith, and then he will come back and do it with Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. But like I said, I think the difference is Geno had the opportunity to sit, learn, and, he always could throw the ball down the field. And you saw his down the field accuracy last year was insane, Geno Smith. It was incredible. But for me, I just can't see Baker Mayfield after seeing him play last year come in and do a major 360 in 1 year. I think he would have to go through a Geno Smith experience of sitting and learning for quite some time to get to that point.
Actually get humbled again.
Yeah, but hey, I could be wrong, and if Dave Canales is able to pull it off 2 years in a row, then like I said, we need to put him up there in the genius category when it comes to quarterback coaching and offensive play.
And you're not betting on that, though, are you?
I'm not.
No.
I'm not betting
on
that.
No, I'm not either.
I think it's two different circumstances here. I'm not just saying that because I don't like Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm trying to be as objective as possible here. I just think that Geno had an opportunity to sit and learn. And with Baker, you asking him to come in and do it just after we saw the way he performed last year. But, it also says a lot to me about what Tampa Bay thinks of Kyle Trask, too. And when you draft a guy in the second round, draft a player in the top three rounds in the draft, you expect those guys to be starters at some point. Maybe not in year one. First rounders, maybe you expect to be starters year one. But when you draft a guy in the first, second, or third round, you're saying I expect you to be an NFL starter in the first couple of years in your career, maybe not in year one. And when you draft Kyle Trask, and I think he's been in the league for 2 years now, or the same amount of years as Joe Burrow's been in the league, and he's only had 9 snaps, you had an opportunity to play him in the last game of the season against Atlanta, a meaningless game for Tampa. They had already won a division. They still wind up losing the game to Atlanta. And you didn't even play him. And you put Blaine Gabbert in the game over Kyle Trask. That says a lot to me what they think about Kyle Trask as an organization right now. And then you go out and get Baker Mayfield. Kyle Trask is a second-round pick. This should be the year for him to be a starting quarterback in the league. And right now you go out and get Baker Mayfield and you say, hey, we don't have any confidence in you. Only 9 snaps. We didn't even play you against Atlanta in a meaningless game. We played Blaine Gabbert instead. Yeah, that says a lot to me about the quarterback position for the Bucs right now.
Yeah, you know I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan, so I'm going to let y'all stand on that. Trash.
Trash.
Good.
I know you got that.
Hopefully it's the last stop on the way out. We can move on.
Yeah.
Bye, Baker.
I got a stats whenever you pull up Kyle Trask, because I know this is something that I know Naj is not here to defend Anthony Richardson. I think Kyle had better stats in college than Anthony Richardson. I don't have those offhand, but I'm pretty sure he was a better quarterback at Florida, and you're still going to be lauding what's happening with Anthony Richardson, so that's crazy how he's still not doing anything in the league. So we'll see. Potential may be there, but you still never know, right? It's a crapshoot, for sure. Yeah, right? Yeah. Man.
Well, talent-wise, he has a lot more talent than Kyle Trask. Now, Kyle Trask had a nice senior year in Florida. Really good year throwing the football, but he doesn't have the athletic ability that Anthony Richardson has. But like I say, when you draft a guy in the second round, you expecting that guy to be a starter at some point in this league.
At some point.
I mean, you really are. Yep. Even Andy Dalton, was a second round pick, was a starter in the league.
Oh my God.
For a long time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So when you draft a guy in the second round, just think of Jalen Hurts, second round draft pick. Drew Brees, second-round draft pick. When you draft these guys in the second round, they are supposed to be a star. Regardless of position, at some point they got to be a starter in their career.
Wow. Hey, don't worry, though. Cam Newton's coming back. He's been working out for you guys, man. That's been terrible. That's terrible. Oh, man.
That dude.
I was like, what's happening with this right here? I still got it.
You know what it is.
Oh,
you got to pay for them kids.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
You got to pay for them kids, huh? Whatever.
We got 8 minutes here. Yeah, for real. 8 minutes to talk about.
It'll be in the XFL or whatever it is.
It's probably all in.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob. I mean, Andre.
I was going to say, we got 8 minutes to talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. Wrap up the show. Your boy Dylan Brooks is trying to 18 technical fouls. I mean, damn.
I told you last time he's a damn idiot.
He's a new Rasheed Wallace.
That's all I was gonna say the same thing, man. 18 technical fouls, bro. Oh, damn.
Rasheed Wallace couldn't control himself.
These fools been out there in the streets of Memphis too long. They out there wild. Like, look, you ain't 8-ball at NJG. I need you to stop going to Orange Mound and trying to be hood. Just relax. Relax, Memphis. Just be cool. But they can't. They ain't going to let it. They ain't going to let themselves be cool.
That was talented. I'm just, like, tripping out. Damn. Okay. You guys, let's go around the horn. Say what you're going to say. And let's wrap this up, too. So, go ahead, Rob.
We're going around the horn here. I guess I got to bring up college basketball here in the March Madness here. What a wild weekend, man! Princeton in the Sweet 16. I mean, who saw that coming? I guess if you look at the tournaments in what's left, I guess for me, when you look at the West region, I would really like to watch the UCLA Gonzaga game on Thursday night. I know it's kind of late. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay up for it, but I really would like to see it. I think this will be a competitive matchup. You got Drew Timmy, who seemed like he's a 15-year senior. And that just seems like he's been in college forever. I'm like, how is he still playing college basketball for Gonzaga? And so, on a serious note, these are two veteran teams. So, to me, that's a really good matchup in the Sweet 16. I'm going to give a slight edge to UCLA, even though They're from California and the Pretty Boys and everything, but they're a physical team. They're a tough team. And so I'm going to go with UCLA to come out of the West. As much as I've been saying I don't want Alabama to win it, I did pick them to win it. So I guess I probably should be rooting for them a little bit.
Wow.
I did pick them to win it in a lot of my brackets. So it's kind of tough. But I still got Alabama coming out the South. Brandon
That's
Miller
a
had a
game.
Rough first game, and but he had a really incredible game in the second game this past weekend. That's another team that definitely should be a great matchup. Out of the East, I'm going with Tennessee coming out. Man, I tell you, that was men against boys if you started a Tennessee-Duke game. I mean, the physicality that Rick Barnes had that team playing with, I mean, if the officials let them play, then Tennessee is going to be a tough out. I mean, they were a physical team. And so I got them coming out of the East now. And I'm just going to stick with my original pick out of the Midwest and Texas. But if Houston, the big question mark is Marcus Sasser. If he's healthy, Houston is going to be a tough out. So, but if Marcus Sasser is not healthy, then I, which doesn't seem like he is right now, I'm going to give the slight edge to Texas to come out of the Midwest. Texas has been playing lights out. Rodney Terry, Texas, what are y'all doing? Give the man a head coaching job. Remove the interim title off his name. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job with that team, and they need to remove that interim title and give the brother the head coaching job.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that San Diego State-Alabama game. I can't believe the spread is 7.5
yep.
the way that San Diego State plays defense. Those dudes are physical. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they call that game. They let them clamp down like they let Tennessee clamp down. Not that Alabama can't win, but Alabama's going to have their hands full with that San Diego State team. You know I'm rooting for Texas. I hope they beat Xavier by fucking 30.
With the Zags, and you were talking about Drew Timmy, the rumor has it is he's going to come back for his sophomore season.
That's crazy.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just what I hear.
Well, I got one other thing.
Yeah, I had that game with Steve. My wife was like, man, he looks old to be in college. I was like, okay, yeah, he is. It's like a 15-year senior.
I don't know what Austin Eckler is expecting. Austin Eckler's what, 28? Something like that? He didn't hear to get a big new deal? Is he not watching any news or paying attention to anything that's going on with the running back market? Dude, you missed your boat on your big contract. I hate to tell you that, Austin, but, yeah. If somebody's going to pay you big, it's going to be a shitty team. So you're going to get paid to play for a bad team, or you can try to get your endorsement money off the field and make up for it, but you're not getting paid that kind of money no more running back approaching 30. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, if you look at the running back contracts around the league right now, a lot of positions, the money is going up, but the running back money is going down, if you haven't noticed, Austin.
Yeah.
I mean, it really has. I mean, you look at some of the contracts for the running back position. I mean, like the best deals are now like 3 years, $10, $11, $12 million for a running back. And so you got some positions getting more than that in 1 year. So, yeah, the running back market, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Saquon Barkley and what he gets. I know the Giants getting the franchise tag, but that's going to be an interesting piece. But, yeah, San Diego State, Alabama, you're absolutely right. I think Alabama talent prevails, but that's going to be a dogfight, and I can see that be a 5-6 point game. I think it's going to be a really close game. So, I talked about UCLA in California and the Pretty Boys. San Diego State, another team from California that's not so pretty boyish. They tough. They are a hard-nosed team. You better bring your lunch pail. Ladies and gentlemen, you recognize the music at the end of our live portion of the show. Thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We believe we're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. For those of you all on the East Coast, Philly, Boston, New York, we want to hear from y'all. Central Time Zone, 10 p.m. Milwaukee, 10 o'clock Central. Is Giannis having a bad fantasy year like JQ was saying? We want to hear from y'all in Milwaukee. In the Mountain Time Zone, Denver, Salt Lake, stand up, 9 p.m. in the West Coast, San Diego, Los Angeles, and Spokane, Washington, where the University of Gonzaga is. Y'all got to tune in, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
Yeah, okay. Damn Spokane. I ain't riding through there. Yeah, appreciate everybody for listening.
That's a growing city, by the way. That's a growing market, believe it or not.
No. No, it's not.
I was up there in Seattle, and the lady working there was like, yeah, man, don't you go start riding through Spokane or going through Boise. It ain't going to be good for your health, maybe. I was like, duly noted.
You know, Boise, I can see. I can see you, but not Spokane. Not Spokane. And it's, I don't know what you mean by growing market.
The population is growing. Your economy is
yeah.
growing.
Yeah. Not much. Not much since I was a kid. I'll bet it's not 30,000 more than when I was 10 years old. Yeah. It hasn't.
Boise is growing too, though. You're right.
I was intrigued by the number of technical fouls that Rasheed Wallace had in his career. He has 317 technical fouls in his career, if you didn't know. Yet, he was not the number one. He was number three. Who do you think had the most technical fouls in their career, if you would guess?
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman was number five. That's a good guess.
I said Gary Payton.
Payton was actually number four.
Darrell Dawkins?
50. Carl Malone had the most with 332 in his career.
Oh, well,
that's because he played through 51.
Exactly. Second was actually Charles Barkley. I just thought that was interesting that those are the two players that had the most technical fouls in their career. Because Rasheed Wallace had 317. I'm like, damn, that's a lot. I was like, who's the top one? So that's just an interesting fact. But there you go. Just something that 317, you know, damn.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I would like to bring up is you know, on our podcast topics, I do still think the Bills are the team to beat in the AFC East. I just think
it
moves
that.
Down. You know, the Jets are, you know, depending on what they do in free agency and everything, I think they've improved. But I still think that the Bills are the team. I know we all had them picked high, and we all had them picked to, you know, either be in the Super Bowl or be in the AFC Championship and all that stuff last year, and that didn't happen. But I still think they've got the talent to take the AFC East.
Yeah,
I would agree
with that. Still a favorite too. I definitely agree with that too. We still don't know if we can trust Tua. You know. Mm-hmm. So I would say, and then Aaron Rodgers, I think his game is declining. I'm sorry. I mean, we saw a drop-off last year. If he goes to the Jets, I mean, I would say the Jets could be that one sleeper team in the division or might be the only team that possibly can take over it, but I just don't see it. I think the Bills still have the better quarterback than Josh Allen.
Right.
They still got Stephon Diggs. They do have to work on that defense or get Von Miller healthier. That's going to be a focus area, getting that defensive line. I think their back seven on defense is going to be solid, but you know you got to be good up front on that defense if you're going to have any chance, right? So they're going to have to figure out a way to improve that defensive line. But I think overall, Josh Allen alone keeps them in contention. But they have
bring
to
in Bobby Wagner.
Yeah. They need a running game, like a fat man needs cake, right? They need a running game. They need a running game. They cannot let Josh Allen continue to be their best running back. They need to run the football in order for them to take that next step. They need to run the football and improve that defensive line.
And as we pack this up, too, it's tough because, like you said, we're getting the decline of Aaron Rodgers because all the Jets really need is a quarterback, right? Because they got really talented defense. They've got some weapons. But I think they got the wrong guy. And, you know, it feels like the Colts all over again, keeping on getting these older quarterbacks that aren't the situation, that aren't the guys, man. So they're hoping for magic. It's not there, clearly, with Aaron Rodgers, man. So you'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see, Jets. All that you're going to get, that's what you wish for. So be careful what you wish for.
You're about to get it. They were borderline 500 team last year, right? I can't remember the Jets' exact record off the top of my head. But if I had to take a guess, they were somewhere
seven
around
and 10.
7 and 10. Yeah, 7 and 10.
Yeah, they're 7
and 10. So they're a little off from being a 500 team. They fell off at the end of the season, right? You know, how many more wins do you think they win with Aaron Rodgers? In my opinion, maybe one or two more. I don't even think they're a 10-win team, but I could be totally wrong, right? Maybe one or two more. Is he going to bring a lot of attention to the Jets? Is he going to sell a lot of tickets? Oh, absolutely. Is he going to sell a lot of jerseys? Absolutely. But I just don't know if they are I just don't see them making a huge jump unless they just go out and just make a lot of other additions on the roster that's really good, right? And they still have some holes on the offensive line, too, that they have to get fixed. So, I mean, it's not going to be easy for them in that division.
Aaron Rodgers wanted them to bring in OBJ.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good move. Yeah, we'll see. All right, gentlemen. That's all we got. Have a great
day. Yeah, I
got to
roll.
Evening, and we'll talk to you guys next week for sure.
All right. Good night, fellas.
Hey, y'all.
Good night, Pete.